Hey everybody, we are here still at Tech Days. This is day two, and we're here with David Chappelle from Chappelle and Associates in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Hi.
Thanks for taking this time. I know you are obviously a very busy man.
My pleasure.
You've got you've still got some sessions coming up.
And the closing keynote.
And
the
closing keynote,
of course.
So can you tell for the maybe not everybody knows your name? Can you tell a little bit about yourself, what you're doing here?
Sure. I am a speaker and a writer, independent analyst. In this space. I've worked in this world for a long time. So I fly around, I give talks like this, I write articles and papers and books occasionally, I do some consulting. I've been focused a lot in the last few years on cloud computing. Not entirely, but to a great degree.
Okay, and then only Azure, also in a broader sense?
I work a lot in the Microsoft world,
so
a lot of Azure stuff, but I'm not solely focused on that.
Okay, nice.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit more about it, about Azure and probably some other cloud platforms that you are analyzing?
Yeah, sure. It's interesting. If you look at the market today, Amazon Web Services is viewed as the leader by the analyst firms, Gartner and so on, with Azure a close second. So that's interesting because Amazon was there first. Microsoft's caught up pretty well. Google is often listed as the third possible choice, but at least from Gartner's perspective, Google is well behind. Okay. And I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Google started late. They had a hard time getting serious. In fact, it's unclear even today if Google is really serious about public cloud platform.
Yeah,
but they at least
they're all about ads and stuff like that. They're not actually a cloud company, so to speak.
They're not an enterprisey company.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, they're neither enterprisey nor oriented toward non-ad businesses.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so cloud platforms are an unusual fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's going to be a big business. So and they have the resources, they have the infrastructure to do this.
Yeah.
So they could be here if they want to be, I think. But beyond those three, beyond Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, it's really difficult to see any other organization being successful in public cloud platforms.
Yeah, exactly.
IBM keeps on trying. VMware has a story. HP entered the market, then backed away.
Yeah.
A rational choice on their part. The scale, the investment, the level of money required to be even a player, never mind successful in this space, is daunting.
Yeah, exactly.
And to see IBM do that, to see VMware do that, I'm doubtful.
Yeah. And do you see that on the same level for IaaS and PaaS, for instance, if we compare those to each other?
Man, that's an interesting question. Do you mean, do they both require the same scale of investment?
Well, no, I like to think about that because a lot of customers that we're working with, they are starting with the IaaS. They want to lift and shift their application to the cloud, or they want to just have some servers or reduce costs or stuff like that. But I think that mainly the real force of the cloud or the real power in the cloud is PaaS. If you can leverage the PaaS platform to do new kinds of businesses and stuff like that. But I'm very interested in if we look at the competitors of Microsoft, so Amazon and Google, is that also for IaaS and PaaS the same? So it's always Amazon first, and then Microsoft, and then the rest, so to speak, or is there a difference?
Yeah, I see. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the PaaS market, Microsoft, of the big players, has been the most PaaS-focused.
Yeah.
Microsoft believes in PaaS. They always have. They began in Azure with only PaaS.
Yeah, exactly.
Took them years to add IaaS.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Amazon, who arguably invented IaaS, has never been very PaaS-focused.
Yeah.
The thing about this is that Amazon is among the best companies in history at quickly sussing out what customers want and meeting those demands.
Exactly. Yeah.
What does that tell us about the current customer demand for PaaS? It tells us that Amazon is not hearing a lot of it.
Right.
Is Amazon wrong about this? I don't think so. Are you wrong? No.
Yeah.
I think over time, PaaS is going to become a very dominant approach.
Mm-hmm.
But for several years now, and probably for a ways yet, more folks want IaaS than want PaaS.
Makes sense,
So I'm currently on a project for a customer which uses Salesforce, which is a pretty big cloud vendor because they've got Salesforce CRM, but then they've also got their Force.com PaaS platform.
Yes.
How do you see Salesforce relate to the other big players like Microsoft and
Amazon? Look at Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, and they offer very similar services. They offer IaaS, they all offer some versions of PaaS, they offer what's called object storage blobs in the Azure world. They offer a managed relational service. They offer managed NoSQL services. They all offer machine learning. They've got similar services. Mm-hmm. Force is playing a very different game.
Yeah.
Force offers PaaS, a NoSQL database, identity. They're focused entirely on building new apps, Colony apps that make use of the customer data in your CRM application
Because it's there already.
Right, exactly.
Low
it makes
food,
good sense.
Yes.
Yes, and their tools are very enterprise-focused, easy to use to build these apps. And so they're playing a really different game than Amazon, Microsoft, Google. They're playing it very well. Good job, I think.
Yeah, okay, nice. And if you look at the hybrid solutions that we see nowadays, I think our opinion is that Microsoft has a very great offer there. They are just as strong in the cloud as they are on-prem, if you look at the enterprise market. Mm-hmm. Is that also true for instance, Amazon and Google?
Not at all.
Not at all.
At least at the moment, anyway. Both Amazon and Google have said public cloud, and then you ought to use some more public cloud.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazon has called hybrid cloud or private cloud false cloud.
Yeah.
Now, could this change? Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Microsoft, you're right, is clearly well ahead in the private cloud slash hybrid cloud world. No surprise, since they have this large on-premises installed base.
Yeah, great.
So if you mentioned private clouds or false clouds, and then one name immediately jumps to my mind, which is Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any thoughts about Oracle in relation to the cloud providers?
So as we sit here and speak, we're a couple of weeks after Oracle's big recent announcement about entering the IaaS market.
Okay.
And in that announcement, they said things like, you know, we're going to be a real threat to Amazon, and we've got great stuff to offer here. And I read that, and I thought, you people are smoking dope.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how anybody, like Oracle, I mean, I don't mean they're a bad company. I mean, they don't have the massive data center resources of a Google or a Microsoft. How anybody without that can try to challenge Amazon.
Yeah, and it's a catch-up game.
It's a catch-up game.
You need
game.
To get to them.
And it's a catch-up game where the leader is, at this point, 10 years ahead of you.
Exactly.
AWS first began to appear 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that announcement, and I confess, I'm just puzzled. What are they thinking here? Microsoft, with vast resources, lots of data centers to start with, has been working very hard, and they're closing in on Amazon, but they're not.
Not there yet.
And here's Oracle starting 10 years late, many fewer resources, no serious data centers like Microsoft has, and they're going to somehow overtake Amazon? I don't understand. I am skeptical.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Mm.
So in your closing keynote this afternoon, you're going to talk about developers and something you call the new defaults for those developers. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
So without giving away the keynote, of course.
No,
it's okay. No spoilers.
So the idea here is that we live in a world where innovation is fundamental, right? When we build new applications, we're always innovating.
Yeah.
If not, it should be buying it, not building it, right?
Right. Exactly.
So how do you take advantage of innovation? Well, you change your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just change your behavior occasionally. No, you make these new ways of doing things the default. And so what I'm going to argue is that we all need to be aware of when it's time to reset our defaults, to switch to new defaults. And so I'm going to discuss three of those default resets for developers. The first one is every app is a cloud app.
Mm-hmm.
Every new app is a cloud app. Now, maybe it runs in a private cloud, but it's built in the cloud platform foundation.
It's architected as such,
exactly.
As a cloud application.
It's in a cloud-native application.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. The second point is every new app should use DevOps. The new default of how we build, how we deploy, how we update applications.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the third one is every project should consider open source objects. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, options.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to use open source, but open source has so merged with Microsoft software, there's no sharp line anymore.
No, exactly.
And so every project ought to consider open source as a potential source of technology to exploit.
And that's very interesting because actually these are the things that we're looking at also for our customers. And what I see a lot in practice is that open source is seen as, okay, so that's free software. You don't have to pay any license. But in my opinion, that is not the biggest advantage of open source software. It's the whole culture behind it. and the way that this is created by the community and by everybody that's committing stuff to this. So I think that's very great, and I think that's something that we need to do with our customers also.
Yeah.
Well, one point I'd make about that is that you talked about the lack of a license fee. Mm-hmm. Well, but as the world becomes public cloud oriented, license fees go away.
Yeah.
This is why Microsoft can embrace open source with no fear, because you're now paying for a service, and you don't even know or care if it's open source in the back end. Mm-hmm. Microsoft can still make money in the open source world. Yeah. That's why their embrace of open source, I think, is not false. It's real, because they know it'll maximize their revenue.
So it's a real strategy changer there for
Microsoft. Yeah, in fact, what you wouldn't expect, Microsoft's now the biggest contributor on GitHub.
Yeah, exactly.
What a world.
Yeah.
What a world.
Crazy.
As they say on these events like Build, it's great to be a developer right now. And
it
I think this actually is very exciting time. So I totally agree.
I couldn't agree more. Yep.
Okay. Do you have any ideas on the whole containerization that you see now? Because this is very closely related to cloud, but also on-prem we see now containerization. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. Containers clearly have an important role to play. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming very mainstream, very typical. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
But here's what I wonder. I want to know why it took us so long for operating systems to do what they were always supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? They exist to let us run multiple apps effectively in a separated way.
Yeah.
How come it's taken us so long to actually get this done?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It's annoying.
Yeah, exactly. Because this also is how we architect our applications, right? Because containers are just a way of packaging your application. And just now we're looking at, you have the whole microservices movement, taking small autonomous things, and it's great to run that in containers. So my theory, at least, is that I think that now this is picking up, this way of writing application. That's why now containers become extra popular, so to speak.
They do fit together well.
Yeah.
At the same time, I wouldn't say that I'm skeptical of microservices, but I would say that I'm cautious,
mm-hmm.
because that kind of architectural approach is just hard.
Yeah.
And the kinds of things that can work very well for groups of very smart developers, maybe aren't the best solutions necessarily for more average developers. And most organizations, by definition, have more average developers.
Yeah, totally agree. Right.
So it's unclear whether microservices will ever be a real mass movement.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And the skill of your development team is always a big constraint on your architecture.
Exactly.
It is. Or at least it should be.
It should be.
Yes. Yeah.
If you make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I agree.
Totally.
Okay. So I'm looking really forward to your closing keynote. So
Thank
I'm going
you.
To enjoy that.
Thank
you very much for taking this time out of your schedule.
My pleasure. Good to talk with you.
Great.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed it as well, and maybe see you for the next episode of .NET Flix. Later.
Bye-bye.